Welcome to the teaching ministry of Joe McGee. It's a common myth that some people are just lucky in life, but anything great has to be purposefully built. You don't just happen to find a great marriage, family, or life. You build one. Let's listen in as hope is restored through the knowledge of God's Word and gain the skills we need to build something great. And now, here's Jim.
Hello, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to Faith for Families. Today we're going to talk about the blessings of Deuteronomy 28. I'll never forget about the first time I heard, what in the world's Deuteronomy got to do with me in this modern time? But it has everything to do with me. I think with all the programs we've ever done, of all that we've ever done, this is probably going to be one of the most important for you to get and listen to over and over again, because we're pretty much going to wash with the water of the Word today, as the Bible says, change your thinking. All poverty, all prosperity is tied to our souls. If we don't get our souls changed, all the work will not get us any more income. This is so important to the believer, the person who belongs to God. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to read it. Everybody talks about it, preach parts of it, but just pretty much in its entirety, and you need to listen to it. I will tell you as a parent, to sit down with your children and just set them in a room and just read this over them will change their life. They'll remember 20 years from now. I remember the day my dad or my mom sat down and read the blessings of Deuteronomy 28 to me, and for the first time I realized what God wanted to do for me, how God saw me, how God wanted to bless me. You've got to get that in, because the devil is a liar, and the only thing that will defeat the lie is the truth. And somehow, if you can go through and understand what God was trying to do to the children of Israel, what he wants to do for us today through his son Jesus, is to bless his people. God wanted to show off through his people to the world, that the people would ask us, the people of the world would ask us about the hope that is in us. We would say his name is Jesus. He saved us, he's blessed us, he's healed us, he's forgiven us, he's redeemed us, and it's an ongoing process. The blood never dries up. God is such a good God. But let's see if we can get this into our soul today. Listen to this. This is called the blessings of Deuteronomy 28. The people are separated by a valley. One set of people on one side of the hill, the other on the other side. One would yell the curses, the other would yell back the blessings. The whole purpose of the law came to reveal just to really the power of sin in our life, that everybody's got sin. When you got a little bit or a lot, sin separates us from God. And so God wants to know, I've got blessings for it, but you can choose curses. But there's no middle ground. See, I set before life, death, blessing, cursing, you choose what you would like. So let's listen to the good side. These are the blessings found in Deuteronomy 28 that God had spoke over the people. And here's what it says. If you fully obey all of these commandments that he'd just given, all of these commandments of the Lord your God, the laws that I am declaring to you today, then God will transform you into the greatest nation in the world. These are the blessings that will come upon you. Blessings in the city, blessings in the field. Many children, ample crops, large flocks and herds, blessings of fruit and bread, blessings when you come in, blessings when you go out. The Lord will defeat your enemies before you. They will march out together against you, but scatter before you in seven directions. The Lord will bless you with good crops, with healthy cattle, and prosper everything you do when you arrive in the land of the Lord your God, which he has given you. He will change you into a holy people, dedicated to himself. This he has promised to do if you will only obey him and walk in his ways. All the nations of the world will see that you belong to God, and they will stand in awe of you. The Lord will give you an abundance of good things in the land, just as he has promised, many children, many cattle, abundant crops. He will open you his wonderful treasury of rain in the heaven and give you fine crops every season, every season. He will bless everything you do. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow from them. If you will only listen and obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am giving you today, he will make you the head and not the tail. He will make you always to have the upper hand. In each of these blessings depends on your not turning aside in any way from the laws I have given you. You must never worship other gods. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 through 14. The Bible talks about the Word of God is what changes our life. This is not a set of laws. This is a person. This is Jesus. The Bible is the revealed will of God, which is his Son coming to save us. and redeem us. That's why it's so important what you believe in life, that the prosperity that you're going to have or not have in life will be tied directly to your soul and my soul, what we believe. So let's look at some of these wealth words from the Bible, some of the promises to get an idea of how God sees us and what God wanted to happen to us if only we would be obedient. The Bible says in Job 36:11, if we are obedient, we will spend our days in prosperity and our years in pleasure. I don't know a better bumper sticker than that or a better thing to put on the refrigerator. Now listen, this is about wealth. This is God's thought. Psalm 112, verse 1 through 3, teach this in our parenting seminars all the time. Praise you, the Lord. Blessed is the man that fears the Lord, that delights greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness shall endure forever. God said, I don't want you to be blessed. I want you to have wealth and riches. You know, riches is money in our pocket, in our bank account, in our checking account. Wealth is money that comes from someplace we're not at. God said his people should not only be rich, they should be wealthy. Wealth and riches shall be in their house. Wealth and riches. Deuteronomy 8:18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that gives you power to get wealth. God gives us power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore unto our fathers, as it is this day. Ecclesiastes 5, my favorite scripture on money in the Bible is this one right here. Ecclesiastes 5:19-20. Moreover, when God gives any man wealth and possessions and enables him to enjoy them and accept his lot and be happy in his work, this is a gift of God. For that man seldom reflects on the past days of his life because God keeps him occupied with gladness of heart. Do you know it's the will of God to keep us occupied with gladness of heart? In other words, it's God's will that there are no good old days in our life, that today's so good, why would we waste time thinking about yesterday? Look what it says about riches. Proverbs 3:13. Happy is the man that finds wisdom and the man that gets understanding, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you can't desire are not to be compared with her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. God said, if you fear me, I'll give you riches and honor. I'll give you long life. That's what Solomon asked for. He asked for wisdom for the people. God gave him riches beyond his wildest dreams. Gave him riches, gave him long life, just because he asked for wisdom to be able to judge his people righteously. Proverbs 22:4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Proverbs 24:3-4 says, through wisdom is a house built, by understanding it is established, by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. God's promised wealth, God's promised riches to his people. God wants his people blessed. He's not trying to punish us, make us poor, make us broke. He's not trying to judge us. He's trying to save us. God's trying to save us. Look what he says about prosperity. Psalm 35:27. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yes, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Psalm 118:25 says, save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Psalm 122:6. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. God wants us wealthy, he wants us rich, and he wants us to prosper. Look at what he says about abundance. John 10:10. The thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. You know, God's an exceeding abundantly above and beyond God. God doesn't want to do just enough. God's gaudy when he blesses. Look what it says here. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling. This is my resting place forever and ever. Here I will sit enthroned, for I have desired it. I will bless her with abundant provisions. Her poor I will satisfy with food. That's Psalms 132:13. Look what he says about increase, increase. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. A man of understanding shall attain to wise words. Proverbs 1:5. Psalms 115 verse 14 says, the Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. You are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Increase is the will of God. Proverbs 13 verse 11, wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. How many of you like increase? God wants us wealthy, wants us rich, wants us prosperous, wants us to live in abundance, wants us to increase. Look what he says about living a satisfied life. I love this right here. It says, the Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in an evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. So it doesn't matter what other people are doing, what the economy's doing, who's in Congress, who's in the White House. God's people will live a satisfied life. Psalms 37, verse 18 and 19. You know, one of the translations in the New Living Translation, John 10:10, Jesus said, I'm come that they might have a rich and satisfying life. I've come that these people might have a rich and satisfying life. That's a great translation. Proverbs 12, verse 11. He that tills his land shall be satisfied with bread. He that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. Talking about being satisfied. I love this Joel chapter 2, verse 23. Joel 2, 23. Be glad, you children of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. And the floor shall be full of wheat. Think about that. Full. Look at all these words. The floor shall be full of wheat. The vat shall overflow with wine and oil. Full, overflow. And I will restore to you all the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you, and you shall eat in plenty. You shall be satisfied, and you shall praise the name of the Lord your God that has dealt wondrously with you. My people shall never be ashamed. Did you see all that? Full, satisfied, overflow, never ashamed. You got the will of God yet inside of you? God wants his wealth to come on us. God wants us to prosper, to have abundance, to increase. He wants us to be satisfied. God is a good God. Look what he says about lack. Psalm 34, verse 10. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Proverbs 28, 27. He that gives to the poor shall not lack. But he that hides his eyes shall have many a curse. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Look what he says about need. Need. Matthew 6, verse 8. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knows what things you have need of, even before you ask him. Luke 12:29 says this. Seek not. Said, and you seek not what you shall eat or what you shall drink, neither be doubtful mind. For these things do the nations of the world seek after. Your Father knows that you have need of these things. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added. Don't worry about what you're eating or where or whatever. God knows you need that. Seek first his kingdom, what God wants you to do, and all that will be added unto you. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need, but in the richest glory of Christ Jesus. It says, therefore this, God knows our need. He said, if we'll ask, he'll supply our need. All of our needs been supplied. It's a good thing. We don't have to worry about need. Poor, look what God says about the poor. It says this in Psalms 34, verse 6. The poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Well, what's his trouble? He's poor. What's the problem with the poor man? He's poor. What did the Lord do? Saved him out of all of them. Psalm 34, 6. Psalm 35, verse 10 says this. All my bones shall say, Lord, who is like unto you, who delivers the poor from him that is too strong? From him, yes, the poor and the needy, from him that spoils him. God said, I'll save the poor, I'll save the needy. God does not want us to lack. He wants us to prosper, have an abundance, have wealth, have riches. He wants us to increase. He doesn't want us to be poor, have lack, or need. Psalm 72, verse 12. He shall deliver the needy when he cries, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. God's very keen about our needing help. Look what he says about just rich, just the word rich. Proverbs 10:4. He becomes poor that deals with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent shall be made rich, rich. Proverbs 10:15. The wealth of the rich is their fortified city, but poverty is the ruin of the poor. God don't want people poor. He didn't want us ruined. He said poverty is the ruin of the poor. The ruin of the poor. Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord, it makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow. Proverbs 22:7. The rich rule over the poor, but the borrower is servant to the lender. Remember we talked about earlier, we were talking about not letting wealth make a slave out of us. That's what he's talking about. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. And then 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might be made rich. Why did he become poor? That we might be made rich. That he took our poverty. He took our lack. He took our, so we could have an abundance, that we could live in wealth and riches, be a blessing to all that we meet, more than take care of our family. Look what he says about a budget. I didn't think the word budget was in the Bible. But listen to this, Luke 14, verse 28. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sits not down first and counts the cost whether they have sufficient to finish it, lest haply after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, that behold, they'll say, behold, he's the one that began to build and could not finish, and others shall mock him. God doesn't want us to start something we can't finish, we can't pay for. God wants us to be able to pay for something when we start something. Look what it says here, Proverbs 27:23. Be thou diligent to know the state of your flocks and look well to your herds. Know the condition. In other words, you ought to keep up. Know how many sheep you got, how fat they are, what the going price of mutton is, what the going price of wool, how much you're going to have to pay the shears. There's an old thing in the Bible about this, about money, being a wise steward. You need to know how much you owe, how much you own, how much you earn, and where it goes. If you know where it is, then you're going to increase because God's a God of stewardship. Look what he says here, 1 Corinthians 16. Now about the collection for God's people, do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in helping with his income or in keeping with his income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. 1 Corinthians 16:1. What he's talking about is this. I don't want to put a burden on you. You should give not grudgingly or of necessity. In other words, God said, I don't want you to give because you feel guilty. I don't want you to give because you feel pressure. I want you to want to give. So that, but they budget, like set aside as God's blessed you. I'm not going to ask for an exorbitant amount. I'm not putting pressure on anybody, put a burden on anybody. As God has blessed you, set aside. Budgeting, a percentage, run a number. Then we talked the last of all about stewardship. God is a God of stewardship. God is a God of stewardship. Luke 16, verse 8. Luke 16, verse 8. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of light. And I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves so that when it is gone, you'll be welcome into eternal dwellings. There's several connotations to this. One is it takes wealth, money to put people in heaven. It takes money to preach the gospel, to build buildings, to write Bibles, to print things together. It takes money to do that. He says, use that to put people in heaven. Use that to make friends. I like this here. This is Luke 12, verse 42. And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make rule over his household to give him their portion of meat in their due season? Behold, is that servant to his Lord when he comes shall find him doing, watch this, doing what he left him to do. Of truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he has. Why? Every day you're stewarding. You take care of it, you get to play with more. 1 Corinthians 4:2. Moreover, it is required in the steward that a man be found faithful. What's it? What is a steward? Somebody that's faithful. What did you do? I took care of what you left me with. I like this in 1 Peter chapter 4. As every man has received a gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Matthew 25:14 is one of the greatest stories in the Bible about wealth and about money. There's that one. There's the one in Luke 16 talks about the parable of the unjust steward. But the parable of the talents is basically this. Jesus, who's telling the story, tells about a master who's going to go on a long journey. Brings three of his servants in. They work for him. They know this man. Okay, he knows them. They know him. These are not strangers. This is not somebody contracting. These are people that are currently working for him. He's going to leave, and he says, you're going to be in charge of five sections of my land. Cattle, wheat, soybeans, crops, five sections. You're going to be in charge of two sections. And you're going to be in charge of one section. So he divided his entire estate, his entire ranch, into eight sections. One got five, one got two, one got one. The Bible says they were put in charge of that based on their individual ability to handle it. Why does this guy get five? How come this is sort of cheating? The guy with one, bless his heart, he only got one. How come you got five? It's like kids when you hand out pizza or ice cream. They got more than I did. They got a bigger bowl of ice cream than I got. They got two pieces of pizza. I only got one. Kids are very keen about stuff like that. So what he says is this. You're going to be in charge of five because you've proven to me you can handle five sections. You, on the other hand, I'm going to give you two. Can't handle as much as this guy, but more than this other guy. You have proven to me that you have the ability to handle two sections of land. And then he came down to third, and you, I'm going to put you in charge of one because you've proven that's about all you can handle. One's about your limit. And so the Bible says that Jesus said the man took his journey and he came back after a long time. He came back to the guy with five sections and he said, what did you do with my land? He said, Lord, I worked it real hard. We fertilized, we watered, we irrigated. Man, the crops did good, the cattle did good. I made such a profit. Now I know I did not have your permission nor your command. But I made such a profit from working that land real hard by being a good steward over it that I took the excess money that we made and I went out and I bought you five more producing sections of land. You are now the proud owner of not five, but you are now the proud owner of 10 producing sections of land. Jesus, who's telling the story, says, the master said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you a ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of your Lord. He comes to the guy with two and says, what did you do with my two sections of land I left you in charge? Well, master, I worked them real hard. I mean, man, we weeded and fertilized, and man, we took care of cattle, and we made sure everything looked good, and I made so much money off that two sections of land that you left me that I know I didn't have your permission or your command, but I went out, and right next door, I bought you two more producing sections of land. You're now the proud owner of four producing sections of land. The master said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I'll make you a ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And then he comes to the guy with one. And this, nobody ever liked this story in the Bible growing up. Man, people always struggle with this story. But comes to the guy with one. He only got one to begin with. And he said, what'd you do with my land? What'd you do with what I left you? And the man begins to cry. And here's what he says. I knew that you were a hard man. You reap where you do not sow. You gather where you do not straw. And I was afraid, and I went and hid that which is thine in the earth. Now watch what he said. I was afraid. What this one guy does, this is where most of the world is today. This one man that got the one section of land, he does not understand wealth or wealthy people. He cannot understand how wealthy people make money from something where they're not at. He said, you gather where you don't straw. You weren't even there. You reap where you don't sow. You weren't even there to sow. Yet you reap financially off of why? Wealth. Everybody who understands wealth realizes money makes money, people don't make money. People that make money will pay 50% of every dollar for taxes of some sort. Money, on the other hand, can work tax-free. It doesn't call in sick, it doesn't take a vacation, it doesn't grout the other people out. Money makes money, people don't make money. And so he did not understand wealthy people. He's angry at wealthy people. He was afraid of wealthy people. Because he doesn't understand how it works. The other two, on the other hand, they had watched their boss. The guy with five, double to ten, he understood. My boss is a wealthy man. He knows how to increase. The guy with two understood his boss. I understand him. I'm not afraid. I'm gonna do what he does. He knows how to multiply himself. And Jesus, who's telling the story, looks at the guy with one and said, you wicked and lazy, slothful servant. You should have at least sold that section of land, put the money in the bank so that when I return, I could have drawn some interest, but you didn't. He said, take from him that has the one. We're not going to divide it among the four and the ten. Take from him that has the one and give it to him that has ten. And Jesus says this, for unto him that has shall more be given unto him that hath not, even that which he hath shall be taken away. Now we see it this way on planet Earth. The rich get richer and the poor get poorer. That's why the reading of the blessings of Deuteronomy 28 are so important. You've got to understand the heart of God. God says this, my idea of faithfulness is not that you take care of what I give you and then you give it back to me. My idea of faithfulness is when I give you something, whether it's a family, a job, a career, a gift. God says, when I give you something, when I return, I expect you to give me back more than I left you with. That's God's definition of faithfulness. Increase is the will of God. It's not something we're kind of ashamed to ask or we're greedy to ask. Or we're greedy of filthy lucre. Or we're not quite sure. Increase is the natural process of God. God always does things better in the end than he does in the beginning. He always finishes stronger than he starts. And so that's why I went through all those scriptures, read about wealth and abundance and prosperity and increase and lack and poor. God wants to deliver us from the spirit of poverty. I want you to be blessed in what you put your hand to. Not to be greedy, filthy lucre, that you might be a blessing. That's why he told Abraham in Genesis 18, I know Abraham, that he would teach his children and his children's children and those of his household. And because he's going to pass on what I've given him, I will bring these blessings upon him. And so he said, I'm going to bless you that I might make you a blessing. May God's will be done in our life in this area in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. We pray God's best for you and your family. For more resources, to become a partner, or to share your story of hope restored, visit us at joemcgeeministries.com.